Moved ahead in 1 John a little bit, and we'll hit the first part of the chapter for next week. But this love being stronger than fear. Had a conversation with a man at a funeral home. He worked at this funeral home. He was 92 years old, and he did whatever was needed, you know, moving flowers or greeting people, directing them where they should be and so on. And we were talking about the news. We're talking about people coming and going and different families that have to say goodbye to loved ones. And he said, you know, there's way too much hatred and fear in this world. And that was a sobering thing to have him say, 92. So he's known a lot of people. He's seen a lot of things. And he sees people come in to the funeral home and leave the funeral home. And he said he notices there's a sobering look on most people's face as they do that, because they realize there's something inevitable here that I must face. Okay, I have an appointment with the end of my life, as God's word says. You know, it's appointed to a person once to die and then judgment. And Solomon would say, we get a lot of wisdom when we think the end of the road is going to happen. As sure as we graduate from college, or as sure as we get out of kindergarten, you know, summer vacation, it's right around the bend, so is the end of our life physically. And there's a lot of wisdom in realizing that, because then we stand before God and we come away with the thought, oh my, you know, God is, He's the author of life. He's the finisher of our faith. And I sure hope somebody conquers death for me. If nobody conquers death for us, we have no hope. And Jesus rises on the third day to deal with our fear of death and even what we think about the judgment of God. And so fear has been in our soul for a long time. Really started off in Genesis 3. Adam and Eve hid from God because they were afraid. So here's the first human beings. What's one of the first emotions they feel? They are afraid. And they're afraid of God most of all. And I think that's one of the main reasons when we don't trust God or obey God or, you know, avoid God like the plague. Because we are afraid of God. And Adam and Eve, not only afraid of God, they were afraid of one another. Okay, they said, I got to get some clothes on. I don't want to just be out there, you know. I got to have some covering over here. I'm afraid. Fear affected every relationship they had. The relationship of their children, Adam or Abel and Cain. You know, Cain was afraid because he heard that Abel was accepted by what he did. And Cain was trying to trust his own work or something, what he did, and he did not find peace with God. So he was afraid, so afraid that he killed his brother over it. He said, I hate this, not feeling right with God, and it's probably my brother has something to do with it. So fear is a very dangerous thing. Get us on the wrong track real quick. It's something the Lord realizes. He has care for us, compassion for us. He has a love that can push fear out of our lives. Okay, and there'll be no absence of fear till we get to heaven. Everybody's afraid of something to the end. And sometimes, you know, it's because way we treat God or way we treat others. Sometimes it's, well, I'm going to call it environmental fear caused by the environment. I shared before about a certain section of Pittsburgh has a train going nearby a residential area, and the train has to blow the whistle real loud to warn, you know, any pedestrians. Blows that whistle real loud. Midnight, another train comes by 3 a.m. And if train whistles are very loud, can be heard for miles away, let alone blocks away. And little ones, when babies and infants, when they hear that train whistle, I'm sure they think, is this the end of the world, or what is going on? Okay, so they have this fear that they develop because of the loud noises. And actually, Children's Hospital tracked the infants growing up in a certain area. And when they became grown-ups like you and I, they were all a little bit on edge. Okay, that's just the way it happened. You say, oh, that doesn't sound like it makes sense. You have to ask the FBI about that. Because when there's a criminal somewhere holed up in a house or some terrorists hiding somewhere, what do they do in the middle of the night? You know, they start cranking up Led Zeppelin at 3 a.m., you know. And the people run out, oh, I surrender, I can't handle that. You know. And so something about unexpected blasts in the environment like gets us, whoa. You get the most courageous soldier, they get jumpy when they come back from a combat area. Any noise that, you know, they don't like that. Or if you grew up in a home, you know, growing up, you were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 earlier, constant, mom and dad, they scream at each other. They throw things at each other. They hit. They verbally abuse each other. You're going to be like, oh, life is not a safe, happy place. And fear is going to be a part of your background, your makeup. Sometimes it's environmental. Sometimes it's biological. If your thyroid goes out of whack or your digestive system, you know, some too much pepperoni, you'll feel like, ooh, I just don't feel right. About 10 years ago, I go to my family doctor once a year. I said, I feel anxious, you know, for no reason. I'd wake up in the morning, nothing going on, troubling. I'd feel anxious. Like automatic anxiety. Try to go to sleep, can't go to sleep. Wake up anxious. What in the world am I anxious about? I can't figure it out. My wife said, you are anxious, you know. You're bugging me. Do something about it. So I go to the doctor, you know, tell him what's up. And he says, well, you know, take these, you know. Okay, I'll take anything. Feel a little calmer, you know. So you take the medicine. And I feel pretty calm, you know. Always calm, always bright. And so that helped for a while, you know, until you feel like, oh, things are calm. It was time. We'll call it biological because I can't figure out what was going on. And fear is a common problem that can hit us. And God understands. He sends his love in our great Savior Jesus in this particular letter, just what was read. 26 times he mentions the word love. You can't find a Valentine's card with love mentioned 26 times. You cannot. But God, just in the section of this letter, he says love 26 times. You need to hear this. This will help you. This will give you confidence in the day when your life is done, day of judgment, but also when you're going and walking around throughout life. And so Jesus helps us against fear. A couple stories Jesus told, it shows the danger of fear. He said a man was given one talent, supposed to serve the master with just that one thing. That's all. Guy says, no, I can't do it. I'm afraid because the master, he's a mean, hard-hearted person. And that's the way some people think about God. He's just a mean, hard-hearted person, not going to turn to him. Be the last one to turn to. Jesus said, that man doesn't know God. He don't know God. He's pushing God away. Fear can motivate too much activity, fear of failure. Jesus comes to see Martha and Mary. Martha, she ramps it up at, you know, level 10 serving. Moving here, moving there, getting this right, getting that right. And she's getting irritated at her sister Mary. She's getting irritated at Jesus, the King of Kings. Can't you tell my sister to help me? And Jesus said, hey, you're worried about many things. Sometimes when you just go, your soul's, God's telling you, hey, you're worried about many things, whether it's worried about being poor, worry about stopping and letting God examine your life. Whatever it is, be with Jesus instead. Worry and fear could rob your friendship with Christ. You know, he don't want to be passed over in the midst of our busyness. So fear can be a problem that way. Fear can help you not hear God's word. It'll be against that. Jesus said, when the good seed of God's word comes, fear chokes out that ability to say, yeah, God is communicating with me in his Bible, in his creation. And so you don't want to do that. Jesus said, people worry about food and clothing. Look at the birds and the flowers. God takes care of them. He'll take care of you. And so the disciples, too, they were afraid after Jesus rose from the dead. And to face our fears, to say, okay, why am I anxious? Why am I afraid? Often we go from anxious to fear to doubt. God probably won't help me, to despair. I'm sunk, to depression. I'm lost in this stale time. And that happened to great people who followed God. That happened to Elijah, happened to King David, happened to the Apostle Peter. He ran away from Jesus and cried. Happened to the Apostle Paul. So don't freak out when you're afraid. And don't condemn yourself for being anxious. It's something that's common to people. And God would come and bring good news in the midst of that. He cares about our fears. Cast our fearful care on Him, because He does care for us. Talk to God about that. You probably won't be able to face your fears without help from two places. From God and from people. You're going to have somebody praying for you, or, you know, saying, well, I'm with you all the way. And the Lord, too. So God and people, two best resources for fear and being anxious. Apostle John points out that God's love helps us to conquer our fears. And we've come to know, he says, we've come to know and rely on God's love for us. And he starts saying things about God's love. God first loves us. God is love. And even God's love gives us confidence in the day of judgment. When we come to the end and life is done and we stand before God, we don't stand before a stranger or somebody, hopefully, that we've rejected all our life, but somebody who we say, he's the one who's loved us. And we're coming home to our loving Heavenly Father. And when we're able to express that love that God sends, that takes our fear level down. So actions of love really help you in your fears. Notice this back when I was talking about that doctor's visit, you know. He says, well, make sure you keep doing what you're supposed to do. And I noticed when I would go visit people who were ill, or in a nursing home, all of a sudden I wasn't as afraid or anxious anymore. You know, and if I went to visit you, I did care about you. It was just not for me to feel better. Okay, but actions of love help you when fear is hitting you. That's why soldiers, they help one another out. They're able to keep fighting in the battle. If you're afraid of your dentist, show some kind of love to your dentist. You know, he'll be shocked. Or she'll be shocked. Take your dentist an apple pie. You know, they'll be like, I've been a dentist for 40 years. Nobody ever did this. Thank you. Ask him out for lunch. You know, why would I want to do that? He's the last person I want to take out for lunch. Because you're afraid of him. That's why. but when you're afraid, to express some action of kindness is a way that fear is put in its place. I experienced that flying. I had mentioned in the past that I'd rather walk to Florida than fly. But you got to fly sometimes. So when I'm on a plane, if I start helping Regina with her items, or my son with his seatbelt, or, you know, here's my peanuts or something like that, I am not afraid. I sit there and think of my fear, I just want out immediately. Actions of love, unresolved conflict with yourself or with another person. You can pray for that person. And that's a beginning of expressing love to them. And a couple quotes that might help you in standing. When we stand before God, we trust not ourselves, but God's love, and we're leaning on Him. So here's some expressions of that. Charles Stanley, when you're anxious about the final time of yes or no, and you might say, well, I'm not afraid of death, you know. That's because you're not sick right now. If you had stage 4 cancer, you'd be afraid of death. And you'd be afraid of what happens heading into that. Or you think, are you afraid of loss of health? Are you afraid of loss of your job? Loss of your house? Loss of your loved one? They're all lost. You're afraid of death. That's the first knock of the end. You have to answer that door. So at the end, how to stand with confidence. God's love is with me. God's not looking for us to do certain things to earn His goodness, love, and mercy. That's what we need Him and His gifts. These are gifts He freely gives to those who come to know Him as Lord and Savior. So God is looking at us and, you know, is His constant eyes upon us. God's looking at you all the time. And is our response, stop looking at me, stop looking at me. I feel guilty, I feel dirty, I feel like you're mad at me, and I'm mad at you, you know. Stop looking at me. Or when you know God's looking at you, do you feel, thank you? Do you feel a gaze of forgiveness? Do you feel a gaze of faithfulness? You know, of sacrificial love toward you? Ah, I'm trusting Him. So, to come to know Him as your Lord and Savior. Charles Stanley goes on to say, God does not love you based on anything you have done or not done. That is our good efforts or avoiding evil. His love is demonstrated by Jesus' death in our place. I will be in your shoes, Jesus said. Some questions that would help us know if we're too much controlled by fear of God's judgment. Are you prone to be critical of yourself and others? You know, you forget to read your Bible. Oh, I'm so stupid, you know. I'm probably not even a Christian. If you say that about yourself, I know you're saying it about other people. Oh, he forgot his Bible. He's probably not a Christian, you know. Or he forgot to read it or something. Are you critical about yourself or others? Then you're not at peace with God. Or you would be thinking loving actions toward that person. Are you slow to bear with the failings of others? Repeated sin of people near to you. Often this occurs in family life, marriage relationships, parents to children, children to parents. There she goes again. There he is again. My dad, he just cannot do this. Do you bear with that? But I love him. Yeah. Do you magnify other sins but want mercy for yours? Mercy is offered to everybody. Here's some songs that point us to the safety of God, both in life and standing before God. Jesus, your blood and righteousness, what He would do. Fully absolved through these I am. 1700s way of talking. Star Wars way of talking. Through these I am absolved. From what are we absolved of? Sin and fear. Guilt and shame. But in our souls and even at the level of our thought and emotions, you know, if we walk around because of God's goodness, you mean because what Jesus did for me, that great love, I'm free from sin and fear. If I fall, He'll help me get back up. Not perfect. And guilt and shame. Wow. You'll be a ready to love kind of person. You know, show me a person who has no, God's absolved them from sin and fear, guilt and shame. They're the best loving people around it. They obey God like nobody's business. Another song, by nature and life, we're far from God. By grace brought near by Jesus' blood. so near, so very near to God, I cannot nearer be. For in the person of his Son, I am as near as he. That is, hey, Christ in you, that God would love you like he loves Jesus. That is it's a humbling truth. The love with which he loves his sons, such is his love to me. Why should I ever be anxious since such a God is mine? He watches over me day and night and tells me you are mine. And that God is with you in the moments of human fear, which he does understand, and the moments of the end. I stand before God, now what? Remember a story of a fella cannot solve his own problems. You know, he's thinking throughout the night, mind racing. He prays, oh, Lord, I'm staying up all night and I can't solve my problem. And he felt like God said to his soul, why don't you go to sleep and I'll stay up all night. I'll stay up all night. How true that is. God doesn't sleep or slumber. He says, go to sleep and I'm going to be working while you take a rest. Because we're his. He watches over us day and night. And one last fear that's very healthy is the fear of God. That's like 100% respect and surrender. If I have that fear, there's something wise about that. I'd compare it, along with some other old-time authors, this is their idea, as you're living, let's say, in your house and in your car and everywhere you go, a huge lion is right next to you. And he is an untamed lion. And for some reason, this lion has promised, I'm here to help you. I'm here to fight for you. I'm here to defend you. And I'm here to save you from your troubles. But I am not untamed. And do not ignore me. And do not pick a fight with me. And do not try to live your life without me. Because in seconds, we would be done. And that's who God is. We don't want to pick a fight with him, and we don't want to ignore him. And we want to say, I'm going to trust you because you said you love me. And the Lord will be with us all our days. His love gets fear away from us. And what a wonderful thing that both when we stand before God's judgment and every day we face this week, in closing, we say before God, a holy God, about Jesus, I'm with him. I'm with him. He's my Savior. And when we sincerely do that, you know, we face the judgment with confidence, and we face the many, many problems that are out there that make our life a little bit anxious and fearful. God's faithful. And so let his perfect love move that fear out. And love is so strong to change lives. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you, Bible. You wanted to tell us just in this passage 26 times of your great love. We do want to express that. We don't have to do it perfectly, but we could do it just in a genuine thank you manner to you. And Father, we think of the early disciples. Without your help, they were the biggest cowards in town. Run for the hills. We don't know Jesus. Hiding behind closed doors, everything. But when you came and said, I'm alive, and you were for them, they were like, they were the most courageous people. So we don't want to be courageous for the sake of courage, but for the sake of your honor, that your love could cast out the fears of our lives. Be with each dear person. We know every one of us, something's going to get us to like push us toward God.